Harold Bloom died yesterday at 89. He was often called the most notorious literary critic in America. He loved the classics, but would also go on Good Morning America to talk about the literary world, which he sometimes saw in decline. He didn't like Harry Potter or the idea of Stephen King getting a National Book Award or other things. But oh, how Harold Bloom loved poems. We spoke in 2010 when he just published Till I End My Song, A Gathering of Last Poems, featuring the last works of 100 poets. Listening back, we realized how sustaining poetry was.
It really makes life more vivid and finer. It's kept me alive in crisis after crisis since between 70 and 80. I've had 6 near-death experiences, as it were.
Then those near-death experiences included 2 heart attacks, and he was walking in wool socks brooding about poetry when, whoosh, he slipped and broke several vertebrae. So he spoke with us from his convalescence in New Haven, and we listened as he held forth on this gathering of last poems.
I suppose I set out to create this gathering because I'd been fascinated by the whole question of lastness in poetry. Really, since I was very young. I'm 80 years old now, and I started reading poetry passionately when I was about 9 or 10. One of the great functions of poetry, and I think that's the central purpose of this book, here are 100 poems that really teach us how to live better with uncertainty. And whatever your age, you need to know how to live with uncertainty, whether or not it is the uncertainty of just how long you will last. And of course, no matter what our ages are, we never do know that mystery.
Well, and that becomes so clear when we read all of the prefaces to the poems you write about the poets. So many of them died young. And so many of the works here may be familiar, but you ask us to look at them in a new way. For instance, Tennyson's Crossing the Bar. You write, it's almost too famous. The first stanza, sunset and evening star and one clear call for me, and may there be no moaning of the bar when I put out to sea. But you say, take a close look at the second stanza.
Yes. But such a tide as moving seems asleep, too full for sound and foam, when that which drew from out the boundless deep turns again home. And then, very beautifully, twilight and evening bell, and after that the dark. And may there be no sadness of farewell when I embark. It's a very considerable question of it could be any voyage, though he may indeed mean the final voyage. You know, I had a very personal motive in putting the book together. 56 of these 100 poems could be considered modern poets. Of those 56 poets, 24 are people I knew and cared for personally. 17 were at least good acquaintances. 7 were among my closest friends, and 1, heartbreakingly, may well have been my closest friend ever, whom I continue to mourn, Archie Ammons. And this is quite literally, I think, Archie's last poem. I remember he sent it to me. There are moments in this poem which will always haunt me. Begins, the people of my time are passing away. My wife is baking for a funeral, a 60-year-old who died suddenly, when the phone rings and then it starts mentioning people who are in fact people I know and cared for a great deal. And then he says something very beautifully. We have already lost so many. Brush the loss of ourselves, our address books for so long, a slow scramble now, our palimpsest scribble and scratches, and then goes on to say, but we don't give up on people. We are hanging on with a grip to the ones left. We are not giving up on the congestive heart failures or brain tumors. And as he goes on talking about this, he says, until we die, we will remember every single thing, recall every word, love every loss. Then we will, as we must, leave it to others to love, love that can grow brighter and deeper till the very end, gaining strength and getting more precious all the way.
I'm very jealous of you, which I know is a silly statement. I'm talking to Harold Bloom, but that you have this intimacy with these people.
Well, I feel that in a sense I've known all 100 of these poets, though of course I couldn't possibly have known the first 50 or so. But I miss so many of those who are gone, and that was the only sad element in putting together the book, in writing about people I miss so much as Anthony Hecht. His final volume, The Darkness and the Light, in 2001, he died 3 years later in 2004, It concludes with this poem, and it's the very last poem in his last book. I won't read all of it. He writes, "Like the elderly and frail who've lasted through the night, cold brows and silent lips, for whom the rising light entails their own eclipse, brightening as they fail." That's a perfect line, it seems to me, that failing or falling is also a brightening kind of a process when it's expressed with the power of really sublime poetry. But thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. The image of the sun rising as a life ends is quite something. Thank you so much. You take care. Watch out for those slippery floors.
All right, dear. Thank you very much. I've enjoyed this.
Harold Bloom in 2010. His wife Jean said his health had been failing, but he taught at Yale up till last week. Harold Bloom died yesterday at 89.